Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, 1025-1063. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios, an hour and a half until the Titans kick off the 2022 season at Baltimore. And I will say this, it has been announced that Malik Willis will start at quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. And what I love about being young is that young equals excuse-making. Floyd used to always say that potential is French for not good enough. And so tonight you will see Malik Willis at quarterback for the Titans, and all we will talk about tomorrow is his potential. Because he's not going to play quarterback for this team this year. That'll be Ryan Tannehill. And he's most likely not going to back up, because that'll be Logan Woodside. We've been led to believe, and I believe correctly, that right now the 2022 season is not the season for Malik Willis, but that the Titans drafted him with the possibility that he could be their starter in 2023 or 4 or 5 or beyond. Not the expectation that he would be, but the possibility. And there's a big difference between those two words. Malik Willis gets 3 games to prove to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel that he's the quarterback of the future. 3 games. It's easy. It's easy to look at today's result. Half of us don't even know what we're talking about anyways. And most of us have never evaluated quarterbacks or played quarterback or coached quarterbacks or anything quarterback in the NFL. But Malik Willis has 3 games to show the Titans what he is capable of doing. And if you don't think the Titans view that the same way, you do not understand the NFL. Starting on September 1st, the Titans' focus will be on the 2022 season. This is a team that was the top seed in the AFC a year ago. It was a team that has won their division 2 years in a row. They have multiple Pro Bowlers on both sides of the ball, arguably the best running back in the NFL, arguably the second best defensive tackle in the NFL, a star safety, and the reigning coach of the year. They play the Buffalo Bills, the Super Bowl favorite in week 2. The time for potential is over as of September 1st. When they practice next week against Tampa Bay, yeah, I'm bummed out that Tom Brady won't be a part of it, but that will be Ryan Tannehill time. That will be a 2-minute drill. Let's see Tannehill against the Buccaneers defense. When they practice against the Arizona Cardinals, yeah, Willis will get some reps and Woodside will get some reps, but again, that will be Ryan Tannehill time. When they play a preseason game at Nissan Stadium against those teams, that is Malik Willis time. Malik gets 3. He gets 3 preseason games to make the Titans believe that he is their future at quarterback. It's easy when somebody is young to overlook a mistake and say, what are they supposed to do? They're immature. They're not there yet. They're not supposed to be. But with certain things in life, the clock speeds up real fast. The NFL is a multi-billion dollar business. Quarterback is the second most important position in any organization outside of owner. And because the Packers don't have an owner, it is the most important position in that organization. Doesn't take long to know if somebody is good or not. It takes a while to find out if they can be consistently good. But bad shows itself real quickly. Speaking of the Packers, just ask them about Jordan Love. He's made 1 career start. So Malik gets 3 games. He's going to start tonight against the Ravens. And while he'll go out there and he'll make some rookie mistakes, and if what he does in practice is going to be what he does tonight, if that's the case, you're going to see balls thrown behind receivers, maybe a ball thrown over a receiver's head, maybe a ball thrown in the dirt, maybe a fumbled snap, certain things that we've seen. You're also going to see some passes that look like big-time NFL throws. You're going to see that cannon arm. You're going to see Malik Willis take off. He slides very well. It's very natural to him, unlike Tannehill, who in 10 years has not learned how to slide in the NFL. It is very natural to Willis. You will see that tonight. But will it be enough? Will the improvement from game one, he's not going to be perfect, and the Titans don't expect him to be perfect tonight. Will the improvement from game one to game two be enough? Will the improvement from game one to game three be enough? Because once the Titans are done with training camp, and once the Titans are done with the preseason, for the most part, their feelings on Malik Willis will have been made. The Carolina Panthers picked Cam Newton first overall in the 2011 NFL draft. But people forget, they took a flyer early in the draft, I believe the second round, on Jimmy Clausen. After 1 year, they knew Jimmy Clausen wasn't very good. And they drafted Cam Newton. The Arizona Cardinals in 2018, in the same draft class that produced Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson, the Arizona Cardinals drafted Josh Rosen. Josh Rosen has now played for Arizona, Miami, Atlanta, and is now on the Cleveland Browns. Four teams in 4 years. I'm not even sure if Josh Rosen has made four NFL starts. Arizona made up their mind after year one. They fired the coach and they went out and they got Kyler Murray. The Titans very easily could make up their mind on Malik Willis after three games. So while we've led everybody to believe, and I think that this is fair, that the expectation should not be for Malik to play right away, it doesn't mean that what Malik does tonight doesn't matter. It does. I wonder how Malik feels about this. Malik's going to be starting an NFL preseason game. He knows the expectations for him are not to start for the Titans this season. But I wonder if Malik Willis knows this is a league that doesn't give out a lot of chances. This is a league that once the league decides you can't play quarterback, you don't get another crack at it. So with that, no pressure. Good luck to Malik. I will say this. I do wonder what Mike Vrabel's expectation is for Malik Willis, and he will not tell you. And he will not tell us. But I do wonder what Vrabel truly expects out of Willis. I went back and looked at my notes today because I am interested in the guys that Willis has been throwing the football to. And I do know who's going to play tonight at receiver. Basically, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina and Robert Woods are out, and everybody else is probably in. Treylon Burks is going to be in there tonight. Racy McMath's going to be in there tonight. Kyle Phillips is going to be in there tonight. Des Fitzpatrick, Mason Kinsey, Cody Hollister, Josh Malone, Reggie Roberson, who's actually made some good plays. Terry Godwin, who, you know, Terry Godwin's made some catches in training camp where I've been kind of standing close to John Robinson, and Terry Godwin's made a catch, and I have felt like John Robinson thought those were big-time catches. So I don't know who Malik's going to be thrown to tonight, but I do wonder what the expectation is given the lack of what they've really given him in practice. And developmental quarterbacks in practice are odd from this standpoint. Floyd used to always tell us that if a team had a veteran quarterback, then they could develop a younger backup quarterback because the veteran quarterback didn't need all the practice reps that week. If the team had a young quarterback like Marcus Mariota, then they needed to have Matt Castle, a veteran, as the backup because Matt Castle doesn't need practice reps to be able to get on the football field and play. That said, I think Ryan Tannehill, come the start of the season, I think Ryan Tannehill needs the practice reps, which means Todd Downing, once they turn the calendars to September and they get ready for those crap Giants in 1 month, Todd Downing's focus is not going to be on Malik Willis. Mike Vrabel's focus is not going to be on Malik Willis. John Robinson's focus is not going to be on Malik Willis. It's going to be on Ryan Tannehill. When he came out and had those infamous comments about mentoring Malik Willis, which I didn't have a problem with at all, I said, that's not Tannehill's job. Tannehill's job is to go out and beat the Indianapolis Colts. That's his job. It's not Todd Downing's job in the season to worry about Malik Willis. It's Todd Downing's job to get the offense ready to go beat the Colts or beat the Jags or beat the Texans or beat the Ravens. So Malik's got three games. That's it. How many games did Josh Rosen get with Arizona before they made up their mind on him? How many games? Malik's got three. He will start tonight, and I assume that he will start the other two. So good luck. No pressure. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get your thoughts in on this. Malik Willis making his first career NFL appearance in any kind of game, and I think it's a big one. I think it's a big one. I know Vrabel's not going up to him and psyching him out and saying, hey, Malik, you got three cracks at this. And if you don't show us enough, our college scouts will be at Ohio State practice. They will be watching Will Levis at Kentucky. Because if we don't think you're going to be a starting quarterback, we have to move on. Vrabel's not going to say that. But that doesn't mean that that's not reality. 615-737-1025. I did look at who Malik has thrown the ball to in practice. It might give us an indication of who he's going to throw the ball to tonight, or might set up for something that I could see being a significant problem with the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company right here, 102.5 The Game and 106.3.
I'm at least doing some good things. He had a good spring. You know, I think that he's articulating the play well in the huddle, which, you know, I don't know much. He had to do a whole lot of that at Liberty with an up-tempo offense. So, you know, that's one thing that a quarterback, a lot of these up-tempo teams, when they don't have to hear a play, get in the huddle, call a play, that's new for him. And, you know, he's done a good job of that. I think the overall decision-making that he's, you know, kind of progressed through and the decisions that he's made have been the right ones. It's about, you know, just in a little quicker on the timing, pull the trigger a little quicker here, or, you know, make this, you know, go with the ball over here, just a little quicker with the decision-making process. But he's athletic. He's good with the ball in his hands. He's got a really strong arm. He's made some really good throws. I think the 7-on-7 stuff has been probably more of his more impressive periods, if you will.
There you go. That was John Robinson on the SiriusXM NFL Training Camp Tour talking about Malik Willis. And again, sounds encouraging, but John Robinson is not going to deal the cards out and say, hey, look at my hand, guys. If he doesn't do this, this, or this, then I'll be looking for another quarterback in next year's draft, or I'll be looking to see when I decide to move on from Tannehill who's unhappy, and maybe I'll get that guy in here. Baker Mayfield, you name it. So I went over. I have been to 8 of the 10 practices that the Titans have had, and I went over who Malik Willis was throwing the ball to. Now, again, this is incomplete data because I missed 2 of the practices, but I think it gives us a good idea. Because tonight, I believe this is who I believe will be out there for the Titans. Now, I don't know if Malik's going to start and play the first half, and then Logan will come in the second half, or as TD suggested earlier today, that Malik Willis would play the first quarter, and then Logan the second, and Malik the third, and Logan the fourth, or if, like last year, I think it was Matt Barkley would get 2 series, and then Logan Woodside to get a couple of series. I don't know how they're going to do it. But here's who realistically is going to be on the field for the Titans. Treylon Burks, Racy McMath, Kyle Phillips, Des Fitzpatrick, Mason Kinsey, Cody Hollister, Josh Malone, Reggie Robertson, and Terry Godwin. At tight end, Chig Okonkwo, Briley Moore, Tommy Hudson, and Thomas Odukoyoya. I'm sorry, I can't pronounce his last name. He's from the Netherlands. He is their international player. So, this is just from my notes of who Malik Willis has been throwing the football to. And I was a little surprised by this because the number one guy on the list is a wide receiver by the name of Brandon Lewis, number 84. Now, I mean, Brandon Lewis is not going to make the Titans, but I do wonder, in the eight practices that I've charted, Brandon Lewis has caught or been thrown to seven times by Malik Willis. Racy McMath, who will play tonight and has had a very impressive camp, Macy McMath is second with five. Meanwhile, Josh Malone, Reggie Robertson, and the tight end from the Netherlands, number 49, they've all been thrown to three times by Malik Willis. And all of those guys will play. Malone will play, Robertson will play, and the tight end from the Netherlands will play. Mason Kinsey, Briley Moore, and Terry Godwin have all been thrown to three times by Malik Willis. Treylon Burks has been thrown to two times. And according to my notes, Robert Woods, who's not going to play tonight, Dez Fitzpatrick, Tommy Hudson, who came back from an injury, Hassan Haskins, Julius Chestnut, and Kyle Phillips have all caught one pass from Malik Willis. Now, here's the one thing that would concern me a little bit, is that now they've been moving these guys around a lot. Phillips was starting more on the second, third team. Now he's getting more reps with Tannehill, and they've really moved guys in and out with Tannehill, outside of Woods, who pretty much has primarily been working with Tannehill, Hooper primarily with Tannehill. Westbrook Akina has worked some with Woodside, but primarily with Tannehill in practice. Here's what would worry me, though. I think the Titans want Treylon Burks to play a lot because I believe they look at today as an opportunity to work on Treylon Burks' conditioning, especially his game conditioning, and especially the kind of thing that they can say, hey, this is why you need to get in better shape. Or, you know what? When the lights come on, just like he did at Arkansas, Treylon Burks is a bad man. But if in practice, in 7-on-7 or 11-on-11, Malik Willis, who, as that clip we just played, John Robinson says, has a timing issue of getting the ball out, if he's only thrown two passes to Treylon Burks, how worried should we be that Malik might put the ball in harm's way? Malik has made progress. I know this TD gets mad every time I say this. Malik, for the most part, kind of stinks right now. He would not be ready to help the Titans in a real game. If something happened to Tannehill and Malik had to go out there, the Titans would be in serious trouble. Now, he has gotten better, but the reality of what he is as a player is pretty basic to me. So what I say with this is he throws guys into danger. And about a week and a half ago, I remember talking on the sidelines and thinking, and I'm sure I shared it here on the show, that I was worried that they would not be able to play Malik Willis in this game because of the possibility that Malik Willis could get somebody hurt. Because those Ravens players that are going to be playing tonight, they're second, third team guys. They're trying to make the team. Just like the guys on offense that, for the most part, outside of Burks and Okonkwo and Phillips, those guys will be trying to make the team. This is kind of the same way with Malik and with the Ravens defensive players. And those guys, they get geared up and jazzed up and they go after and they are trying to make a tackle. And I don't want anything to happen to Chig Okonkwo. And I don't want anything to happen to those guys on the Titans as they're trying to get those players in shape while getting Malik the opportunities in the preseason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. Texter into the text line. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Texter says, if Willis and Woodside are neck and neck, are a neck and neck tie, who do they keep, assuming they only keep two quarterbacks? I think there's two things that I disagree with the premise of that text. First off, I don't think it's neck and neck. I think Woodside is truly ahead of Willis. Don't let today, and the fact that Malik Willis is going to start, don't let that dissuade you from what I've been telling you, which is Logan Woodside is the backup quarterback of the Titans. As I just said 20 seconds ago, Malik Willis is not ready to play in an NFL game right now, a real NFL game. Logan Woodside is. The Titans have gone into back-to-back playoff games against the Ravens and Bengals with a legitimate possibility that happens all the time in the NFL that Logan Woodside would have to go in that game. Malik Willis is not ready for that. So I disagree with the premise of the question about if it's a neck-and-neck tie, because I don't think it is a neck-and-neck tie. I think the Titans have been planning on keeping three quarterbacks. I think the Titans will keep three quarterbacks, and I think Willis will be the third guy. And I think it's good because Willis on the scout team will give them an added element to prepare for a guy like Josh Allen or Dak Prescott or whomever comes up this season that maybe Logan Woodside didn't give them. But it's not a neck-and-neck tie, and the assumption that they would keep two quarterbacks, I don't agree with. Because I think the Titans, when they drafted Willis, decided that they were going to keep three quarterbacks. Texter into the text line says, let's say Malik goes out there and makes plenty of mistakes but gets crazy with four touchdowns by running or passing, and the Titans stomp the Ravens. Would he be the backup even though he made a lot of mistakes? No. I don't think the Titans look at that. Outside of, and again, the COVID protocols are gone in the NFL and all the testing is gone in the NFL. But it would have to be something like what happened to the Saints last year where Ian Book ended up quarterbacking a game on Monday Night Football. I just don't see Malik Willis taking a meaningful snap for this team this year. Bill Polian had talked about when they drafted him about being kind of a running option. Vince Young did some of this when Kerry Collins was the starter ahead of him in 2006. I do not believe the Titans will do that with Malik. I do not believe Malik will be active. And even if Malik plays well, from what I've seen in practice, I still don't think the Titans would trust Malik Willis in that regard. Adam in Portland is up next here on the program, 615-737-1025. What's up, Adam? Go ahead.
Yeah, the only problem I have with what you're saying, Jared, and you touched on it a little, is Vince. Like, Vince, I'm not a Vince guy. Never really was. But he played well when the Titans sucked because he had a lot of natural ability and people hadn't seen him yet. So I think if he had to be thrust into a game, he's been doing this his whole life. And that's the reason people were considering him a first-round pick. It's because he has a lot of natural ability. So I think, I know he doesn't practice well. Vince did not practice well. I think he could still make a play if he had to. I think there's a lot of natural ability that you aren't able to see in practice that he would take to a game.
I mean, he's got natural ability. I've seen that in practice. I appreciate your call, Adam. I've seen the natural ability. It's there. You're going to see it tonight. There is legitimate natural ability with Malik Willis. But just because a bunch of draft gurus talked about could he go in the first round does not mean that he was a first-round talent, because no NFL team was interested in taking Malik Willis in the first round. The Titans had two opportunities to take Malik Willis in the first round. They passed on both of them. They had an opportunity in the second round to take Malik Willis. They passed on him. They drafted Roger McCreary. They had an opportunity in the third round before they drafted him to draft Malik Willis. They drafted Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. The Seattle Seahawks don't have a quarterback. And they were not interested in drafting Malik Willis. So the idea of, he's got that natural talent just like Vince Young, Jared. First off, Vince Young did not have a good NFL career. Secondly, Vince Young was the third overall pick in the draft. I contend, pound for pound, the three most, and I'm talking about God-given ability, the three most talented Titans, just naturally talented, get out of bed, play football Titans, are Javon Kearse, Vince Young, and Chris Johnson. And I think Jeffrey Simmons is probably fourth in terms of just pure, raw, God-given talent. No disrespect to Malik, that ain't Vince Young. Now, he might be better than Vince Young because so much of the position is mental and so much of the position is leadership and the intangibles. And Vince didn't have those. And Vince had a coach who didn't want him. And Vince had a coach who didn't like him. And Vince had a coach who thought he could just kick everybody else to the curb and would later become the laughingstock of the NFL because he sucks so bad. Not Vince, Jeff Fisher, I'm talking about. And Malik doesn't have that. So maybe that will help Malik. But no, this idea, Vince Young on natural ability won something like, his record as the Titans starter was like 38-19. Malik does not have that natural ability. Malik's going to have to get there. 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Who is playing for what? I will tell you right now who I am convinced has made the Titans. I will also tell you who I think has a really good shot at making this team, and I will tell you the guys tonight who are going to play that are on the outside looking in. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company right here, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
You know, Derek, you know, doesn't get a whole lot of reps out here in training camp, so gives those other guys a big opportunity to step in, get a lot more reps, and we can really see what they can do. Dontrell is a guy who came in, like you mentioned, last year, did some good things for us, and seeing that role, you know, expanding a little bit, and he's making plays in the run game, he's making plays in the pass game. He has that feel that we can split him out and get a good matchup outside with him. You mentioned Haskins, you know, a guy who's big, physical. Julius, undrafted guy. Julius Chestnut, guy who's impressed me. You know, he's running hard. He's making plays. He's got some shiftiness, but he's got that low center of gravity and size too. So it's a competitive room, and looking forward to see how it all shakes out.
There you go, Ryan Tannehill, talking about the wide receiving or the running back room. Apparently, Tannehill has now become a talent evaluator, breaking down all the running backs, and you will see, I would assume, all of them tonight except maybe Dontrell Hilliard. But you will see Hassan Haskins. You will see Trenton Cannon. You will see Jordan Wilkins. You will see Julius Chestnut. So I have in front of me what I consider to be the 41 locks to make the roster, that after 2 weeks of training camp, guys that have spots that will be on the Titans next year. Then I have another category, which I used a black pen for that, a red pen for guys that I think have a really good chance, and then a blue pen for guys that I think may be playing and they have an outside chance to figure their way onto the roster. So I'll go over the locks first. These are the guys that are on the Titans and will be on the roster, and even if they fumble six times tonight against the Ravens, they're going to be on the team. Ryan Tannehill, Malik Willis, Logan Woodside, three locks at quarterback. Running back, Derrick Henry, Dontrell Hilliard, and Hassan Haskins are locks. I believe Trenton Cannon, as a kick returner, has a good chance to make the team. Torrey Carter, as a fullback and special teamer, has a good chance to make the team. And Jordan Wilkins and Julius Chestnut have outside chances to make the team. Chestnut, I think he's a big, you know, kind of thick running back. Kind of like Wendell White, maybe, but not as tall and not as good of a college player. Chestnut, I think, will be the guy who a lot of you have never heard of, who after tonight you will say, hey, you know, Chestnut, he ran the ball pretty well. I think he's got an outside chance to make the team. I think Chestnut, though, has potential to be a practice squad player this year. And as we learned with the Titans using 91 players last year, the practice squad's pretty important. Wide receiver. Last year, the Titans' official roster to start the season had seven wide receivers on it. Right now, I've got five locks. Treylon Burks, Robert Woods, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina, Racy McMath, and Kyle Phillips. The hardest decision that I had to make on this exercise of guys who had good chances or outside chances was what to do about Dez Fitzpatrick. They have been so complimentary of Dez Fitzpatrick, and Dez Fitzpatrick will play a lot tonight. They have been so complimentary of Dez Fitzpatrick. They gave him an offseason Player of the Year award. They talked about his maturity. They talked about how he responded to adversity last year after having a horrendous training camp and being released and being on the practice squad and what he did in practice on the show team. But he hasn't done anything to really separate in camp. Where McMath has, he hasn't. And it's tough for me to say good chance, but just because they love him, I'll say good chance for Dez Fitzpatrick, which would be six. That would leave one spot for Mason Kinsey, Cody Hollister, Josh Malone, Reggie Robertson, or Terry Godwin. And right now, all those guys are kind of equal. Kinsey, I think, goes back to the practice squad where he's lived the last couple of years as a backup to Phillips, punt returner, slot guy. I don't think that they would need two of those guys on the roster. I think that's a little redundant. But I think all these guys are kind of battling the same. Josh Malone doesn't really play special teams. Reggie Robertson does. But I think they can get those guys on the practice squad. Tight end, three locks. Austin Hooper, Chick Okonkwo, Jeff Swaim, and maybe Tommy Hudson makes the team. He's got an outside chance. Or Briley Moore makes the team outside chance. But again, those are your three tight ends, Hooper, Okonkwo, and Swaim. Offensive line. Last year they carried eight guys on the offensive line to start the regular season. This year, I've got six locks. Taylor Lewan, Aaron Brewer, Ben Jones, Nate Davis, Dylan Radins, and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. And I believe right now, and both Petit-Ferrer and Radins are going to play tonight, I would assume. I think Petit-Ferrer has a leg up on Radins, but they'll both make the roster. Jamarco Jones, who they brought in to compete at left guard, and they say is competing at left guard, though I don't think he's competing at left guard. Jamarco Jones has a good chance to make the team, as does Corey Levin, who's been a backup guard slash center for eons for this organization. I think he's got a good chance to make the team as well. And I'm going to put Jordan Roos on the list as a guy. He's a guard, 70, I think. I'm going to put him on there as a chance, a good chance to make the team, because John Robinson was asked last week about the offensive line battles and mentioned Roos as a possible guard candidate. And I don't think John Robinson is mentioning the guys who have no chance to make the team. I also put Jalen McKenzie, an tackle from USC, undrafted free agent. He's got an outside chance to make the team because he's an athletic tackle, but I'm not sure I see it. Defensive line, four locks. Last year they carried five. Four locks. Jeffrey Simmons, Denico Autry, Tierre Tartt, Naquan Jones. DeMarcus Walker, who I've never heard of until this year, has impressed in training camp. I think he's got a good chance to make the team. And then there's Deshaun Hand and Larrell Murchison, who have outside chances. I'll be honest, Murchison, a draft pick in 2020, has been on the team the last 2 years. I'm not sure Murchison's going to make this team. He's been injured off and on. And honestly, he just really hasn't made any freaking plays. So I think that he may be getting passed up. Outside linebacker, I have four locks and nobody competing. Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, Rashad Weaver, and Ola Adeniyi. Those four guys will make the team. Those four guys, there's nobody else that I think will make the team at outside linebacker. Inside linebacker, they've got two locks, Zach Cunningham and David Long Jr. Those guys will start. Three guys I think have a good chance to make the team. Dylan Cole, who's a Vrabel Texan guy and was a special teamer last year on and off the roster. Joe Jones, who has impressed in practice and hunts the football. And I was listening to Jeffrey Simmons talk about how a focus for the defense has been about forcing turnovers. The talk of, yeah, we got nine sacks against Cincinnati, but we didn't force any turnovers from the quarterback off those nine sacks. So it's obviously been talked about a lot. Joe Jones just keeps showing up in practice. I think Vrabel really likes him. And because they've got Monty Rice on the pup list, I could see Joe Jones making the team. Watch out for Joe Jones tonight. Be thinking that name, and you're going to hear about linebacker Joe Jones. You're going to say, oh, Jared was talking about him. Chance Campbell, I think, has got a good chance. He was a draft pick. TD likes him. I don't know anybody else who does, but I think he could make the team. And then there's a kid named Gibbons who's out there who makes some plays every here and there. He's got an outside chance to make the team. Corner. Last year they carried seven corners, and they carried six safeties. They carried 13 defensive backs. Right now I've got eight locks in the defensive backfield. Caleb Farley, Christian Fulton, Elijah Molden, Roger McCreary, Chris Jackson, Kevin Byard, Amani Hooker, and A.J. Moore. A.J. Moore was a special teamer they picked up from the Texans. That's eight. I believe Greg Maben will make this team. But Greg Maben, I mean, he every year just shows back up on the Titans. I think he's got a good chance to make the team. I think Josh Kalu, who was away last year, I think Josh Kalu has a chance to make this team, a good chance. Vrabel loves him, special teamer. Remember, he blocked the kick against the Chiefs in 2019, and I want to say he returned a kick for a touchdown against the Colts in 2019 as well as a special teamer. I think he's got a good chance to make the team. I also think Theo Jackson, the rookie out of Tennessee, he hasn't done anything that I've noticed in training camp. I haven't seen anything that Theo Jackson has done in training camp, but because he was a draft pick, I'll give him a good chance. And Shakur Brown is a corner who I've never heard of, who they signed, I think, the day after training camp started, and he just keeps getting plus ones.
Did you mention Chris Jackson?
I did make he's a lock.
He's a lock? Okay. Just want to make sure. He's been that swing kind of fringe guy. Just want to make sure he's still on there.
Oh, he's still on there. And not only that, he would have been on there even if Buster Skrine hadn't retired, but I see why they really wanted Buster Skrine on this team this year. Special teamers. Here now, this is debatable. I have three locks. Reggie Bullock, Brett Kern, and Morgan Cox. Now, there's three roster spots there that are for sure locks, because if Ryan Stonehouse, who's going to punt tonight with Brett Kern, if Ryan Stonehouse beats out Brett Kern, they still have a punter on the roster. Paul Kaharsky wrote about this. It's been discussed that they could have a... I just don't see. I do not see Brett Kern losing the punting job. Now, I know he's not the best punter in the league anymore, but there's certain things he does with that football in big moments. And I know that Stonehouse might have a bigger leg, but I'm not ready to give up on Brett Kern. So I think Kern, Bullock, and Morgan Cox make the roster. That's 41 locks. Everybody else is playing for a spot. Now, once I factor in the guys who have a good chance to make the team, then it gets really close where there may be one or two, there may be a couple of spots only up for grabs. It reminds me of when we used to do Floyd's 53-man roster, and I remember one time we had a 53-man roster, and I said, Floyd, and he was like, that's my 53-man roster. And I said, you got 49. And he said, but you can put it whoever else you want on there. I got the 49 guys that belong in the NFL. So that's kind of how I feel about the guys who are going to make the team. And then the guys who have a good chance to make the team, those are the guys that belong in the NFL. 615-737-1025. There are odds you can bet tonight's game, and I'm going to tell you what to do. They tell you what to bet, plus your phone call, Stillman & Company, 615-737-1025. Right here on the program, let me tell you about this great date night opportunity that I love to tell everybody about. That's right. You have a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Michael Bublé at Bridgestone Arena on August 16th. Plus, you can qualify to win Davidoff Cigar, Blend Bar, Cocktail, and Gift Card. Tune in to Chase, Willie, and D-Mace tomorrow during the noon hour. Caroline and Big Joe will have your chance to win. Brought to you by Blend Bar with Davidoff Cigars.
What goes into, Mike, I guess, decision on maybe who needs work in preseason games, who maybe you hold back, and when do you finally make decisions on some guys?
I mean, those are probably determined already. I think you just try to evaluate what's been going on at practice, you know, who's had some of the situations, who's had, you know, first, second down, third work, who third down, you know, 2 minute, who feels, I feel like, is, you know, gotten a lot of work in, and there'll be some guys that that don't play in the game, and then and hopefully there'll be a lot of guys that that need that opportunity to kind of help themselves, help define roles, and you know, show us that they're ready to help us out.
I would love to know how Mike Vrabel decides who plays and who doesn't, because certain guys play for different reasons. Some guys will play tonight who have absolutely no chance of making this football team. Some guys will play because they are trying to evaluate to see if that guy can make this team. And some guys are going to play because they need the work. Treylon Burks will play tonight. Caleb Farley will play tonight. Racy McMath will play tonight. Those guys have all made the football team. Now, I do want to say this. I don't want anybody to be mad at me for doing this. Because, again, I know a lot of people get mad. You know, I'm kind of just at the point in my life where I've had enough people mad at me. And so I would say that this is cold takes happen. Maybe this will. The Baltimore Ravens have won 19 straight preseason games. Now, I'm not sure who really gives a crap about that. For the most part, I'm not somebody who does. I have truly do not care if the Titans win or not. Whether or not they win the game, whatever. Do that on your own time. But here's something wild about the preseason. excuse me, the Ravens have won 20 straight preseason games dating back to 2016. Just to put that in perspective, the 2016 Titans preseason game against the San Diego Chargers featured Derrick Henry as the star of the game. That's how long ago it was. The Ravens have won 20 straight preseason games. Their 20-game win streak has surpassed the Green Bay Packers' 19-game win streak from 1959 to 1962 as the longest preseason winning streak in NFL history. That is from Adam Schefter, who I guess went and dug that up. Earlier today, I looked at it on FanDuel. I don't know why, but I looked at it on FanDuel, and the Ravens were 3-point favorites tonight. The line has now shifted to 3.5. Take the Ravens. And I know people are going to get mad about this. They think I'm going to pick against the Titans. This happens in six-pack picks on Fridays before Titans games, like last year when I picked the Jets to beat the Dolphins. You are such a hater. You are a shock jock, Jared. You are. No. I picked the Jets because I thought the Jets were going to win. Clearly, the Ravens care about winning in the preseason. I'm sure they don't care that much, but they clearly care in the fourth quarter. Or John Harbaugh values the fourth quarter of these preseason games for his second string guys more than other coaches. Winning 20 preseason games in a row is not an accident. And Mike Vrabel is 4-7 or something like that in his career in the preseason. The Titans sent out a game release, and the game release has what a win would mean. And I think it was like what a win would mean. And normally for a regular season game, it would mean that the Titans improved to first place in the AFC South, that Mike Vrabel improves to 57-38-1 as a head coach, that Ryan Tannehill has now beaten every NFC opponent, you know, stuff like that. The what a win would mean for the Titans in their game release this week was, I think, and I'm not looking it up right now, but something along the lines of it would make Mike Vrabel 5-7 in his career as a coach in the preseason, and it would be the first preseason victory for the Titans over the Ravens in franchise history. So that doesn't really matter. So again, you can bet this. You can bet it. The Ravens are 3.5-point favorites, and I'm going to be completely honest with you. I think Malik is going to play a lot tonight. Malik Willis is going to start. And just what I've seen at practice, I'm not convinced that Malik is totally ready to play in an NFL game. And I know that this is not an NFL a game where he's playing against NFL starters, but it is still an NFL game. And I am not totally convinced Malik is ready for that. So, again, on FanDuel, I don't know what the numbers are in other places, but the number for tonight's game, according to the FanDuel Sportsbook app, which is my official sportsbook app, the number is Baltimore -3.5. I would lay the 3.5 for the Ravens.
That's pretty crazy. The Ravens haven't lost a preseason game since September 3rd, 2015.
I didn't even know we played games on September 3rd, 2015. I mean, think about that. September of 2015, Marcus Mariota was a rookie. The last time the Ravens lost a preseason game.
That seems hard to do, even, you know, accidentally you would think you'd lose one in there somewhere, but I guess it helps if you have Tucker.
Yeah, that's true. I do want to get to some of your texts, just because I promised I would. Phone lines are driven by WoodsideHunter.com. Jack says, I'm sorry, but Woodside is trash, not saying I want Malik as the backup, but what do you think about the Titans bringing in a vet? The Titans have done that each of the last 2 years, and Woodside's beat them out both times. So, unfortunately, if you're an anti-Woodside guy, I'm not sure you're going to get much out of it. Texter says, over under 3 deep passing attempts for Willis tonight. Over. I think Malik is going to throw the ball. I think he's going to throw the ball underneath.
Show off that arm, baby.
I think he's going to throw the ball deep. I think he's going to throw the ball at people's feet. I think he's going to throw the ball behind people. And then I think he's going to make some beautiful throws and have some beautiful runs. And it's going to be a very mixed bag. Can the Titans end the 20-game preseason winning streak for the Ravens? We shall see. That's it for us. We're out of here. ESPN Radio is up next. And, of course, we'll have a full reaction tomorrow starting at 2 o'clock. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.